Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for May 26th, 2024, Holy Trinity Sunday, is based on John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is, We Don't Understand, and That's Okay. An introduction to our reading from John. Jesus' miracles prompt Nicodemus to visit him in secrecy. Jesus tells him about being born of the Spirit and about the Son who has been sent by God to save. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, how many of you have ever experienced something that you just could not explain? Anybody? Maybe you felt a presence, but like nobody was there. Maybe you saw something move across the room or the sky, but no one else saw it. Maybe you felt or experienced something internally that science can't seem to explain. Despite not being able to explain it yourself, did you do whatever you could to try to explain it away? To make sense of it? To bring logic to the scenario that seemingly defiled it? To try to bring control to a situation that seemed irrational? I would argue that as humans, we have a strong desire to order things and to be in control. And when it seems like we can't make sense of something, we tend to force it into a box so that we can feel comfortable once again. There was a time, about 20 years ago or so, that I took a trip to a farm in Kentucky that had an old plantation mansion on it. The mansion had a history of being haunted, but those stories were not widely shared with the general public. I didn't believe in haunted things, but I was interested to see this incredible home. The owner, who our family knew, showed us around and did a fantastic job of telling us the history of the home as we walked through it. And as we were nearing the end of the tour, we stopped in a room that had a fireplace at the back of the room. And as my friend and I were walking around the room and we approached the fireplace, we both felt something unexplainable, like a heavy squeezing in our chest and an immediate sense of dread. We both left the room immediately and shared our experiences with one another. Neither of us knew what it was, but we know we didn't want to be anywhere near that fireplace any longer. After the tour was over, we found out that the room we ran out of was indeed the one where people have reported seeing paranormal activity in the past. There was a story about a daughter of the plantation owner who had a baby, and let's just say that baby was a baby that people in the South would not accept. And the end of the baby's life happened in that fireplace. We didn't know that story before entering the room, and afterwards we were skeptical that we experienced anything like that in the room. I mean, maybe we were just tired from walking around all day, or hot. It was Kentucky in the summer. Maybe we had low blood sugar. We were dehydrated. We had anxiety. Something must explain what we felt there that day. We needed an answer, because not being able to logically explain it was a reality for us that was far too frightening. And to be honest, I've never really shared that story with anyone until about 5 years ago, because I was worried about what people may think about me for believing I experienced something unexplainable. I pushed the experience far back into my memory, hoping that I would forget it, or that over time, I would just think to myself, maybe you didn't really experience that, right? Not being able to explain or understand the situation made me feel out of control. It shook my worldview. And so I pushed it deep down inside of an internal box labeled, "Do not share this with anyone." I would argue that as humans, we have a strong desire to order things and be in control. And when it seems like we can't make sense of something, we want to force it into a box that makes it comfortable once again. In our reading today from John, we encounter someone who is also questioning his worldview and is worried what people might think if he explains his thinking or doubts. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, one who worked in the temple. The same temple that just before this, Jesus came in and cleared, flipping tables and sending people out, threatening to tear the temple down and build it again in 3 days. His Pharisee colleagues knew that he was going to speak with this rebel Jesus. He could be in big trouble. So he goes to meet Jesus under cover of night. We hear him say that he believes Jesus is from God because of all the signs he's performing. Jesus, or Nicodemus, can't put order to what Jesus is doing, so he puts him into the box labeled prophet or messenger from God as a way to feel comfortable again, and he wants Jesus then to confirm that that is who or what he is. But Jesus essentially tells him, "This box of prophet or messenger that you are trying to put me in is far too small. You can't even comprehend the size of the box you would need to define me. In fact, only I can define the size of the box, because I am the great I am, the creator of all things." Jesus is saying to him, the only way that your human mind can even begin to comprehend God is if God gifts you with something as small as a glimpse of the glory of God. Even then, Nicodemus still can't understand. He's thinking in terms of worldly understanding, things that can be proven and make sense, which is why he gets so confused about how you could be born again or made new again by God. But before we shake our head at Nicodemus, and say, "Oh, Nicodemus, you of little faith, how could you not understand?" Let's be real with ourselves. Typically, we are Nicodemus in the story. How often do we not understand things that we read in the Bible or understand ideas about God? So we try to boil it down into the simplest boxes so that we have a complete, or what we believe is a complete understanding about God. On one hand, we hear Jesus say in this passage that Jesus did not come into this world to condemn it, and that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. But in Matthew 18, we also hear Jesus say, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Two very different messages from Jesus. How do we make those two messages make sense? What kind of mental or theological gymnastics will we do in our minds in order to make these two statements fit into what we already think we understand God to be? In all reality, we can't fully understand God. God's a mystery. And that's okay. St. Augustine, one of the early church theologians and writers, said the following about trying to understand God. He said, "If you have understood, then what you have understood is not God." And there is no more perfect day than Trinity Sunday to boldly proclaim, "God, we don't fully understand your mystery, but we're open to you revealing more about yourself." We pretend like we understand how the Trinity works, one and three and three and one, but we have no idea. It's something we take on faith. And every human analogy that we try to use to explain the Trinity always ends up in heresy, a false teaching. We try to say God is a three-leaf clover. We try to say God is an apple with skin and insides and seeds. We try to say God is like water in three different forms. We try to say all of these different things so that we can understand God, and every single one of them falls short. I love this quote from American pastor, theologian, and author Frederick Buechner. He says, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit means that the mystery beyond us, the mystery among us, and the mystery within us are all the same mystery." We do not have all the answers. And I would say be wary of anyone who does claim to have all the answers. It's okay to question. That's exactly what we celebrated last week with our confirmants. They took 2 years to question their faith, to shake the tree of what they were taught as a kid or by society, and to see what stays and what falls to the ground. In a quote from our third book in our summer book series we're doing this year, which we will talk about in July, the book is called Deconstructing Your Faith Without Losing Yourself, by Angela Harrington. She says, "Deconstruction is a way of moving past the limited perspective of concrete answers and absolutism. Trying to reduce complex ideas to simple black and white concepts leads to a lack of understanding on our part." If there are things that you were taught about God that don't sit right with your understanding of God and don't make sense to you, I give you permission to question them. If I say something about God that you don't agree with, I give you permission to come to me and to question me about it. The limited bit we think we know about God comes only from what God has chosen to reveal to us through God the Creator, God is Jesus, and God is Holy Spirit. And we are invited to come together in community like this, just as the Trinity is in community. to try to make sense of it all when we can, and to lean on one another when we can't. You have permission to let go of control and to embrace the mystery of God. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.